Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody wants out, can get out later. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs. Okay? This team's going to the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We shouldn't send him in. That's a damn coaching mistake. That's, the kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
You don't have to say any more than that, Brent.
No, you certainly don't, Jack. Very honest assessment. I saw
I'm
you.
I'm a man.
You
I'm sorry.
Off,
I'm not.
Out,
I'm not a kid.
One of his
who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
Welcome, Earthlings. You have stumbled across The Balance, the only internet radio program that gives you a full balance of all sports. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TBalance. You can also find us on Facebook under The Balance. And make sure you send us your comments to TBalance@ymail.com. Right now, here's your host, Tom and Kevin.
And welcome to another episode of The Balance. My name's Tom, right along with my partner in crime and that redneck from Philly.
Take me out to the ball game.
Well, we did a different sound bite there, Mr. Engineer, but that's okay. Welcome to another episode of The Balance. My name's Tom. I'm along with my partner in crime and that redneck from Philly, Kevin. Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm not doing too bad, Tom. Had a good weekend. Had a good time down the races. A lot of things we're going to talk about today, so not doing too bad.
Yeah, that's right. We had a great weekend here in Indianapolis. The Brickyard was here in town. The Rednecks came to town, and we're here all weekend long. In fact, we had a good time down at the truck race. Of course, then there was the nationwide race, and, of course, the granddaddy of them all, the Brickyard 400 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway yesterday. Kevin, what are your thoughts on the truck race, the nationwide race, the Brickyard?
You know, we went down there, like you said, Friday, down for the truck race, and I had a great time. You know, the O'Reilly Raceway Park was the first time I've been there, and I would have to say that was probably one of the better racetracks I've been at. I really enjoyed Richmond when it comes to NASCAR because of the short track. You can see everything, and I'll give ORP the credit. ORP is a great track. Reasonable price, $40, you can get general admission seats and see the entire racetrack. So definitely a good time. Ron Quarterday won it. He won it last year also. So repeat winner there. But it's been a while since he's won. So matter of fact, he won four times at Indy before, but this was his first win of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a great time. My little nephew, that was the first race he'd ever been to. So he really enjoyed it. Got to see a couple wrecks. And the good thing about O'Reilly Sports Park is that it's a small track. You can see the whole track. And like IMS, you can only see a certain portion of it. And the trucks go a little bit slower. So it's a lot of fun. Of course, Todd Bodine is still leading the points race there in the truck race. But it was a great race. It was a good time. And I look forward to it again next year and maybe check out another truck race again yet this year, Kevin.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to if I get a chance. We'll go really quick, just the top five of the truck. And really, going by points, nobody outside by the top three has a shot at the championship. But top five is Todd Bodine. He's up by 177 over Amarillo. Then over 182 by Johnny Sauter, 212 over Ron Hoyerday and Timothy Peters. Both at 212 points back. Points-wise, the amount of races left in the truck series, really, as you come down to Todd Bodine, and if Amarillo or Johnny Sauter can make a big push. Most likely right now, Todd Bodine doesn't have any big slip-ups. He's going to go ahead and take the next-seed Camping World Truck Series.
Well, that's good, Kevin, because it doesn't appear that he's doing as hot over in the sprint standing. How's Bodine doing over there?
Bodine is not a full-time driver over in the Nation Sprint, I should say, so he doesn't have a whole lot of points there. So he's doing more as a fill-in driver, depending on what track it is, but he's not a every-week racer at the up in the Big Boy or Sprint Cup League. Saturday was the Busch, the Nation wise. And Kyle Busch won the race, and I have to laugh because when we were over at the truck race on Friday, I have to admit I was one of them, but when Kyle Busch got announced, I believe, if I remember correctly, he was the only one that got booed.
He was. He did get a pretty heavy boo there at the truck race, and I guess it was a pretty hot night there, too, as well. And so what, how did Carl Edwards do this weekend? I know he's had his difficulties, and I saw him on ESPN on the commentary part of ESPN broadcast yesterday. So what are your thoughts, Kevin, on the Carl Edwards saga and how that's shaping up? You think he's going to get it back together?
Well, Carl Edwards, prior to this, was probably one of the cleanest, most respected drivers out there. So, you know, it really, I honestly believe it's something personal between Brad and Carl. I don't know what it is, but if you watch Carl race other guys, he's really quick to apologize for bumping into him. But for some reason, him and Brad Keselowski have a hatred for each other. In the race, Carl Edwards finished second, Keselowski finished eighth. No real incident. You know, NASCAR is laying them off. They're not taking away the racing part of it. What they're taking away from those two drivers is the purposely wrecking you somewhere to where you're risking injuries. You know, in that fact, Carl was bumped into Busch, you know, during the couple last laps. And even Carl Busch said that Carl could have used him up a little more than he did. But you know what the reality is, Carl Edwards right now is on such a short lead in all three series. It doesn't matter whether it's sprint, nationwide, or truck. If Carl Edwards does anything, he's on probation. So he's a race, but he definitely has to be a lot more careful than some of the other drivers out there. So I wish Carl Edwards to get that together. I think Carl Edwards is a great driver. Usually pretty clean, so I don't know what's going on between him and Keselowski, but I hope he figures it out.
Well, I hope so, too. Make sure you send us your comments at tbalance@ymail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, on Twitter, at T, capital T, Balance, and then also on Facebook, search The Balance. And we're down here at Wings, etc., and, boy, they got some good wings, don't they, Kevin?
They do. Matter of fact, Monday night is 39-cent wings, and Wings of Central actually let you substitute them for the bone wings at no extra cost. And I know some of the other places here in Indianapolis will do bone wings on other nights, but on Mondays when they have their cheap wing specials, they do charge extra for boneless. So, you know, come on down to Wings of Central. Also, you know, right, Cleveland Raceway, not only did it really get this great staff. But if you want to watch the sport, it's going to be on one TV. We probably have about 30 TVs here. And the way the staff is here, if you're near a TV and you want to change something, they will are more than willing to change it for you. So definitely come on down to Wings of Central and Rock on Raceway Road and enjoy some great food.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, going into yesterday's race, I know that the Pulsar, Montoya, was certainly a favorite to win it all. But just quite working his day yet again. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that wreck and the number 42 team and you know, the confidence that it has going on?
Well, you know, Juan Montoya should have won that race. He should have won last year. Last year he came into it. And he would be the only Brickyard winner as well as any 500 winner. Last year he had won the race once, decided to go on pit row and speed. And with the penalty, he did not win the race. This year, he went in and came for Dodge. Watching the race, all of the commentators said that, you know, they would do four tires. And I would have too in that situation. Some had the two tires, one out for James McMurray. He did get a challenge from Kevin Harvick in the end. But, you know, I'm glad James McMurray. He's a young driver. He's a really classy guy. So, you know, considering he won the Daytona, and you can ask him, now that's something that no other owner has ever done. He's the only trifecta winner of the Daytona, the Brickyard, and the 500. So, hats off to Ganassi. him and Penske always have rivalries, you know, with having NASCAR teams as well as Indy. So right now, Chip Ganassi could put his hat in the mantle, and he's definitely got one up on the Penske team.
Right. And I think, obviously, the Kanaska team is the team to beat this season. It's got a lot of racing left yet this season. You know, here's the thing. I think we saw, I don't know if it was just you, but we saw a lot of people that were missing in the stands this year. And I think there was a lot of corporate sponsorships down. I think there was just a change down in general. And I think people are having to make the decision. Are they going to make a house payment? Yeah, buy food for the family or go to a race. Obviously, the choice is pretty simple there. And so I think that IMS tried to put themselves in a situation to where they reduced the ticket cost to the general admission, I think, for the first time. Had a family side there where there was no alcohol allowed over there. They had the beach going on. But I don't know that it was quite enough to bring in the fans, Kevin. What do you think?
Yeah, this year, they just didn't have it. Like you said, it's the biggest thing, I think, is the economy. People had to make choices. What are they going to do? Are they going to see the family? Are they going to make mortgage payments? Or are they going to go ahead down to a race? So, yeah, the reality is the economy really hurt the upbringing here this year. What they're looking at next year is, I know they're taking general admission from $40 to $30, and the way they were talking on the radio today, I heard the exact prices. But your more expensive tickets are going to take down half price. There's 140,000 people there. It sounds like a lot, but if you've been to the Brickyard or whatever race you want to call it, you would realize that 140,000 people isn't really a whole lot for that racetrack. If it's a killer racetrack with a four-hole golf course on it.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, whenever you have a course the size of IMS and you've only got 140,000 people show up, you see it. And you see it all across that mammoth racetrack there. So, and I think it's something that NASCAR is seeing as a trend, and this just might be something that they have to look at to say, hey, maybe we do need to reduce our ticket costs as a whole to keep our fan base. We'll be curious to see how that goes. I mean, here's my thought. Two tickets spend basically $100 to watch a parade yesterday. And you watch, I don't know if it's the tire issue or whatever, but I have just seen a slow decline in attendance over the last few years, and I think that NASCAR needs to make some changes that fit today's race fans. Kevin, what do you think about that?
Well, they are. NASCAR's realized that they are losing a lot of fans. IRL has done the, if you watch an IRL race, you will never miss a turn on the race or anything because they split the channels. Commercials are on half the screen. The race is on another. NASCAR has looked into that. As of right now, they're not going to do that. But they are changing some points up. You know, and I was reading about that yesterday, and because it really intrigued me. What is the difference the last 3 years that Jimmy Johnson decided to win a championship? And the reality is this. Even if they changed it, there's about three or four scenarios out there right now that they're looking at. Even if they would have changed it to any one of these scenarios that is a possible change for the chase, Jimmy Johnson still would have been a three-time champion. So if they are talking about changes, I don't think it's going to be a huge thing when they do change it to the chase. But there will be a little bit different. I know they're all talking about changing dates of certain races. Also adding Kentucky to the racetrack, meaning they'll probably take the race away from somewhere. So they're looking at changing a lot of things out there. You know, and they talk about the chase being so important, and it is. But, you know, and that's one of the things that we talked a minute ago about Jamie McMurray, that I really respect the guy. I think he's one of the classic guys. He was with Hendrick for a while. I wish he would never got rid of him. You got a guy that has no chance of making the big case, and yet he's out there giving 100%, enough to win the Daytona and the Brickyard. And a lot of teams, a lot of drivers would have said, you know what, we're not going to win the championship this year. We're not going to be in the chase. They kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, well, we'll just hit it hard next year. And these boys over at Ganassi have not done that. Earlier, Ganassi has really said, you know what, we're going to continue, and we're going to win some races, whether we're going to make a chase or not. And that shows a lot of character and a lot of class.
Well, and Kevin, another question I have about Jimmy McMurray. I don't know. I see a night and day difference between when he raced for Roush and when he's raced for Kanapsky. It's almost that he forgot how to race when he was with Roush. Do you think maybe that the team owners are put limitations on the drivers on their cars, what they're willing to spend money? Do you think that maybe that the team owners have a lot to do with who's in the Sprint Cup chase as much as any cup? What happens, let me ask you this, what happens if you've got two owners that cover the entire chase? So which means one of two owners is going to get that. So I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts that possibly, because when you look at McMurray and you look at Roush and you look at Kanapsky, they're two different styles of racing, and McMurray's raced for both of them and seems to be doing better now than what he did with Roush.
I think a lot of it has to do with cars. A lot of it has to do with the engineering of the car. So, you know, how much money to be spent. Roush is a big team, but, you know, they don't have the money they can have yet. Kanapsky has got some fun. I mean, really, you look at the big teams out there. You've got Richard Childress Racing. He's got some money behind him. Henry's Motorsports got some money behind him. Your big teams in the chase this year, right now, are the big teams that have a lot of money, spend a lot of time back at the shop with the engineers. So, you know, but Jimmy McMurray has always been a good driver, and I don't think he had the cars to the competitive level that he has now as when he was with Roush. And even Carl Edwards made that comment after the race, that it's two separate drives. Jimmy McMurray is driving nothing like he did last year. But I don't think it has as much to do with him as it does the equipment he has. And it all involves your pit crew, your crew chief. I mean, everything comes into play. That, and I think he's a better fit for Kanapsky than he was for Roush.
Right. Well, and here's, and then I'm going to play the normal fan point hater guy for a second, Kevin. Here's the thing. You've got Jimmy McMurray, who wins the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400, yet he's struggling to even get in the chase. There's something wrong with that, Christian, when you win two of the biggest races and still have a hard time having a bleak outlook to even get in the chase to win the championship.
Well, what they're looking at, I mean, this is something that James was talking about, having wild cards. For example, as you know, Don, and other listeners on our talk show have heard me say, in the past, I'm a Jeff Gordon fan. He's inconsistent. So is Jeff Burton, in fact. They're very consistent. Both of them are in the chase, but neither one won a race this year. So the reality is, they earn their way into the chase with consistency. However, if you don't want somebody like David McMurray is, you're penalizing somebody for winning. So what they're looking at is, you'll have the top 12. How that determined is going to be a little different next year. But the top 12 will be changed. Then they're looking at one or two wild cards. And those wild cards will be your guys like Jamie McMurray that have won the Daytona or the Brickyard. So if this was next year, Jamie McMurray would probably be wild carding in the chase. I'll tell you right now, with the way he drives, and he's in the chase, and the car he's had lately, I'm worried about it. I was in the chase against him.
Well, as we know, McMurray had some good pit strategy, and he took two tires in the final stop to win. What do you think about the tires and the way that tires affect the race car and how it affects each and every year? We see what I think is actually hurting good drivers from getting in the points race for the championship. And maybe I don't speak for a lot of fans. Certainly, send us your comments at tbalance@ymail.com or on Facebook or on Twitter. But certainly, it seems to me like if you win the most races or the most impressive races, that should be grounds for winning the championship. But like any other team, the two Super Bowl winners are the two best teams out there. NCAA, the two best teams out there. The winner, Jimmy Johnson, is not always the best driver out there. I guess that's my point, Kevin.
And you're right. And McMurray earns his right to be the chase, and I really feel bad for him this year. I mean, the reality is he has done but only three. Let me correct that. He's now the third driver ever in NASCAR history to win the Daytona and the Brickyard in 1 year. So
you got a guy that has set
history, not only for himself, but for his team owner,
and he doesn't make chase.
Right. Well, it's just a very frustrating time, I'm sure, for McMurray. But I don't think that he was near as frustrated yesterday as Julio was. What do you think about his antics? Which is very rare for him to act out like that on the track and grab a ref by the collar. And you might want to know the story a little bit better. And the fact, basically, I guess that he won the race. Then they black flagged him, so they put him back to 10th place, and he grabbed an official. So I guess what my question is, if he's already won the race, I guess the race hadn't become official yet at that point. Is that what happened?
You're correct. And what happened, basically, is he got called for blocking, and that is the big drawback for me, as well as a lot of fans like NASCAR, the Caribou, the IRL, or any racing league. In NASCAR, if you pass somebody and they're coming down past you, it's called blocking. Basically, you take your car, lower it, put it in front of theirs, slam down on them to where they cannot win. And here you have a guy that passed somebody a couple laps earlier, and as that guy is coming up to him, decides, I'm going to put my race car in front of his and not let him pass me. And he gets penalized for it. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of money difference and point difference between first and second place in racing. And if I pass you and I'm winning a race, and you're coming up towards me, I'm going to block you. I like Scott Dixon, but the reality is this. He only led two laps. And the reason he led those two laps was because he got penalized. And all he was doing to me was he was catching Evans, was protecting the lead he earned.
Right, and I think that blocking, rubbing, whatever you want to call it, is all part of racing within Ryman Racing. And when you've got a situation to where I feel like, you know, rules are rules and they've got to be followed, and I guess apparently Julio did break the rules on this particular situation, but wow, to black flag him and push him all the way down to 10th place, that, like you said, that's got to hurt where it hurts the most, and that's in the pocketbook, across the board.
Well, it does, because not only was he fined, but he's also docked points. So now, he's not only docked today money, but if you think in a big picture, if he can't make those points up, at the end of the year, he's looking at losing a lot of money from the overall standings as well. So, you know, this is hitting his pocketbook twice. Do I agree with going out choking an official? No. Can I say that if I was in his spot, I would not have? No, I probably would have reached out and choked him also. So, you know, it was good. You have a lot of different people. And the funny thing is, the winner, Scott Dixon, just happens to race for Chip Ganassi. So, Chip had a good day.
I don't know. Are we going to start calling Chip the Yankees of the NASCAR?
No, I'm not willing to do that yet. you know, you still have Hendrick Motorsports out there. Right now, Richard Childress Racing has done a 180. Richard Childress Racing last year and Richard Childress Racing this year is absolutely nothing alike. You know, I would really like to see some of the in the IRL, some of your good old boys. You know, I'm a huge Andretti Autosport fan. I like Marco. I've always watched Andretti growing up in racing. And, of course, they probably have to have one of the best-looking race car drivers on their team as well. You know, with Danica Patrick being on their team, you know, I can't argue with that fact.
Well, here's my thing about Danica. Is she racing NASCAR or not? I mean, that's what I want to know, because she certainly didn't make a showing this year at the Brickyard, and I think that a lot of fans were really disappointed about that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there are a lot of fans that are disappointed. Myself, personally, I don't know. To take somebody from an open wheel concept to a closed wheel Bush or Nationwide, whatever you want to call it, Spring Cup. That is a really big difference. So I never expected her to step from one league, IRL, and then go full-time NASCAR.
Right, yeah, but I guess the thing about Indianapolis is Indianapolis, and it was Danica. Obviously, that was a big story. So I just think that she should have stayed where she was at. I know it was all about money, but that's my opinion, Kevin. But you're the redneck from Philly, and you're the expert.
Well, she is known as the Golden Girl of NASCAR, and again, you know, I can't argue with the modeling she's done or anything else in the past, you know. So, personally, I'm glad to see her there. I'm hoping or waiting for. Hey, remember the Olympics when our female soccer team won the gold and the girls fly on the grass, rips her top off. I got to say, I'm hoping Danica wins the race and does that in NASCAR.
Danica does sell tickets. That's for sure. Well, shifting gears a little bit here, make sure you send us your comments in email at tbalanceymail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. You can also follow us on Twitter, capital T, Balance. And, you know, I think we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk a little baseball. That's right. Take me out to the ball game. And I think the first stop we're going to make tonight is up there in Chicago. Last night, if you checked out the Cubs and the Cardinals do battle, I tell you what, it took them 11 innings to come over the Cubs. But at least they avoided the sweep. And you know me and the Cardinals. I love my Redbirds. My wife is a diehard Cubs fan, so we watched it at home. It was a family event for us last night. Had a lot of fun with it, and But really, what is it when the Cardinals and the Cubs get together? It's a real battle. It's like IU and Purdue playing. You throw out the record when the Cubs and Cardinals do battle.
Well, you know, I don't know what it is with the Cubs, because I hate to say it, but they really suck. But at the same time, you know, when Philly came in town, they gave us a series. As a matter of fact, they took our series. So the Cubs play great against your top-notch teams.
They're the adorable losers, but or the lovable losers, or whatever that they say. Well, and an interesting storyline with the Chicago Cubs is that Lou Piniella is scheduled to retire at the end of this year, and all signs point to Ryan Sandberg taking over that job, which that's a good choice for the Cubs. I mean, I think that's going to sell a lot of tickets. I think that Ryan Sandberg did a great job down in the minors, coaching the minors. So we'll see what happens next year in 2011. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot of the big-time golden year coaches start to retire. I mean, we've got Torrey over there at the Dodgers. You've got a lot of coaches that have been around the league for a long time I hate to say it, but maybe even Tony La Russa might be one of those here in the very near future that might be saying c'est la vie and just calling it a day, and Tony can go hunting with Bobby Knight. You know, Tony La Russa and Bobby Knight are really good friends. Well, anyway, Lopez's long ball lists the Cards up over the Cubs in 11, so they did avoid the sweep in there, and they are doing battle with the Reds over there in the National League Central, which, you know, that's, I'll give credit where the Reds are due, but I tell you what, and I like the Reds. I got Scotty Rowland. He's a good Indiana boy, but I just think they're going to choke. They are going to choke. So how are your Phillies doing?
My Phillies are hurt. No, really. Only one day. We can't have a game. We've had to take it serious in Colorado. Right now, you know, the big story of baseball is A-Rod. Willie Craig, 600. He was the youngest to hit 500. Right now it is Cleveland 1, New York Yankees 0 in the 5 seconds. Obviously, he has not done it yet.
I know you're Philly is in, Oswald. you know what, though? We'll see what happens with the Phillies, and along with the National League, and as far as I'm concerned, there is no other division like the American League until October. But that is fast approaching. We've got a lot of teams that are shaping up, and the Phillies still have some. They still have some fight left, dude.
Well, you know, Phillies have a fight. I am really worried about the Phillies right now. You know, I got to be honest, I've been a diehard Phillies fan my entire life. And I don't know where their head is right now. I know they're talking as and I don't know if it's media, which I really hope it is, talking about getting rid of Jason Worth. And, you know, he is in a slump. But the reality is that every major
baseball players, everything, great, and finished.
You know, Jason Worth will be back here, Tom, and I'm just looking at some comments made by the other. You're looking at a lot of players out there, and a lot of teams panicking. And I'm really hoping that Philly doesn't panic, that we look at other things. We have a lot more worries than is Jason Worth cranking out home runs. You know, 2 years ago, three years ago, when we won the World Series, because we haven't had it twice, and we'll be there again next year, so we will be there 3 years in a row.
I don't know that you'll be there again next year. I'll tell you what, the team that won for the World Series this year is the Rockies. And I tell you what, the Rockies and Tampa Bay are both two teams that seem to be underneath the radar and yet putting it together for the season. So it's going to be an exciting pennant race. Obviously, we've been talking about the Reds and the Cardinals and what they're doing. But over there in the American League, you've still got some very good teams that right now I say that it's anybody's race. I mean, we're going into the last leg, if you will, before the big chases start happening, and we can start making some good predictions for the World Series this year. I still say that the Cardinals will be there. The Mets are doing very well. The White Sox are doing very well. And, of course, here's a team that we don't talk about a lot, and that's the Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers have came down from the bottom and have really turned on this year. And they're the team to beat over there in the American League West. So it's interesting to see how they're going to do along with the Angels, which, of course, is there just about every year and has been for the last 3 or 4 years or so. And then, we've got the race over there in National League, like we talked about in shows past. So we've got the Braves that are just tearing it up over there in the East. Of course, as we've talked about several times and will continue on this show, the National League Central, the Cardinals and the Reds do battle. But the Padres are a team that I think that is yet another surprise to me. I kind of thought the Dodgers would be doing a lot better this year. And I still think the Rockies will, even though they're in fourth place right now, I think that they're going to come up and make a showing here at the end of the year. Of course, we've got the trade deadline coming up, and we'll see what kind of teams do a little shake and bake and who they end up with and what they end up with. But what I think that we have to worry the most about is what is going to happen with A-Rod. I think A-Rod's battling an injury right now, and I don't know if he's going to get to that magic number yet this year or not. And so there's a lot of good storylines, but I feel like Tampa Bay for the World Series, I think that
they've got a World Series appearance coming the way there. And so it's exciting to see baseball this time of year. Right now, Detroit and Tampa Bay are doing battle as they're in the second inning, 0-0. And so we've got a lot of action going on around baseball right now. So make sure that you check it out. Come down here. We're at Wings, etc. at Rockville Road and Raceway, right here in the big city of Indianapolis. Wings are 38.
Wings, etc. 39 cent wings Monday night, so come on out.
You know, I'm having knees so hot and something else, but they're spicy.
Well, I made a mistake. I came out here my 21st birthday the other night.
Yes.
it was the 20th anniversary of it. I've been celebrating it for 20 years now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But I came out here and I tried a wall of flame. And I'll tell you right now, I took one of those. And you have E16, I think it's in an hour with nothing to drink. But after I ate that first one, I had no feeling in my tongue.
I was told that the wall habanero, up against the wall habanero, whatever, will make you cry. Will make the manliest man of all men cry.
Well, I would have, but I was with a group of friends of mine, Antoine and a couple others, and, you know, so it was me and, like, four other females, so I wasn't going to cry. It was not fun to have. But, you know, I will say, my tongue was numb, and I was sweating.
We should both do one. What do you think?
We'll do it. I don't care.
Right here, live on the air. We'll do a live against the wall habanero wing shot is what we'll call it. But somebody might need to drive me home. My wife will. My stomach would eat me alive. You know, my wife told me before the show. I told her I was coming down here. I was going to have some good wings. She said, "Don't cry to me tonight." So,
I already know.
I know we've got some other stuff going on across the sports story. He just can't find a home. What is up with him?
Well, you know, I was listening to a sports show. Actually, it started here in Indianapolis, Zach and Jack, yesterday. And I'm trying to get a hold of them to figure out how we can talk to them. They started out on Indy Network on TV, and now I have a weekly show every morning, 7 hours. Two great guys.
There are a lot of guys. We're going to have to get them on the show, that's for sure.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that. But they're talking about it, and Zach brought up a very good point. The question that he had is, do you think it's the lack of production and age of Terrell Owens, or do you think it's the reputation of Terrell Owens that is keeping him from getting a job? As a Philadelphia fan, I could say I think it's a little bit of both. He's 36 years old. He had 54 catches, 5 touchdowns last year. That sounds low. However, you've got to also look at, he played for the Buffalo Bills. Trent Edwards as a quarterback. Now, how do you expect to catch more than 5 touchdowns catches when you have a quarterback like that?
Well, here's the thing about Terrell Owens. He is an older player. Apparently he's still got it. Apparently he's still got the gonads to do it, and we'll see. I don't know. I'm sure some team will sign him. The Rams won't do it. The Rams said no, that they won't do it. But I think he's probably going to get the looks from the Bengals a little bit south of here. And I don't know. Ocho Cinco and Terrell together in Cincinnati, whew. You tell me they're going to be as hot as these wings here, Kevin.
Well, I don't know how hot they'll be, but I'll tell you this, the police department will be active.
I'll tell you what. Well, you know, Ocho Cinco has his whole other line of things, his reality TV where he's trying to find a wife. So what we should do is try to find a team that reality TV show. We'll screw the head that up, Kevin. We'll create a television reality show to find Terrell a home team. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I want to be associated with that. You know, the funny thing is the names of the shows. Now, John, or whatever you want to call him, man, is making millions of dollars a year. Now, I find it hard to believe that making that amount of money, as popular as he is, he needs to go on television and call his show Ocho Cinco, the ultimate test. And the funny part is, the show right after that on VH1, which is still on music. Just like
MTV.
Yeah.
It's Phil Owens.
It's the
Phil
show.
You know, my wife said, we saw him on the NFL Network the other day. My wife said, hey, look, the guy from Dancing with the Stars. So, you know, I think really what it is that he's trying to get some money because, you know, he's got Rosenthal as an agent. And we certainly know plenty of players that have had Rosenthal what's the old saying, ducks of a flock fly together or something to that effect?
Yeah, and these guys look at, there are probably only two NFL receivers I've ever seen carry a Sharpie in their uniform, so they can sign a football and act stupid after they catch a touchdown. So I like Carson Palmer, and I know they're trying to give him some players that could go out there and light up the field and do whatever. And, you know, Terrell Owens, he's right number 51 last year, wide receiver. But number 49 was Randy Moss. So everybody touts Randy Moss. Everybody loves Randy Moss. Thinks he's the greatest thing next to sliced bread when it comes to wide receiving. But he's only ranked too high than Terrell Owens. So has Terrell Owens lost it? Probably not.
Well, I can tell you what, he's lost some fantasy value. And, you know, we're going to get a fantasy football team together with here at The Balance. So we're going to be getting some more details out there for you on that. So if you want to be a part of The Balance's fantasy football team, make sure you send us an email. Say, hey, sign me up for the fantasy at tbalance@ymail.com or follow us on Facebook. Or just on Facebook, search The Balance, on Twitter, T Balance, and, of course, right here on blogtalkradio.com. We are live at Wings Etc. at Rockville Road and Raceway in Indianapolis, having some wings and mighty, mighty spicy wings, as you know. So, but, you know, there's a lot of still talking about the NFL. I mean, obviously, we can't leave out our Colts. I mean, I think that the Colts are still going to be there again this year. Obviously, we've got Peyton Manning. I'm sure that they'll come to – I haven't heard this week. Did they ever come to an agreement with Reggie Wayne yet, or do we know yet? Or?
As far as I've read and as far as I've seen, we do not have any agreement with Bob Sanders, with his health issues, as they rumor.
I see that is, I don't know.
For Reggie Wayne, I really hope they get him. Do we need Bob Sanders as much as Reggie Wayne? Personally, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, as everybody knows, NFC. But my AFC team would be the Colts. And I would say we probably need to worry more about Reggie Wayne than we do Bob Sanders.
Well, here's the thing. Reggie has earned his money. And I think the Colts will find a way to make that happen. I mean, we both know what kind of addition Reggie Wayne has made to the Colts, and he's very happy here. I think he wants to make it work. I think the Colts want to make it work. So I'm not so worried that he's going to go anywhere, but I don't know that we'll see him show up for camp early. I think that this will be an 11th hour, and they'll get a deal inked. I think they will.
But talking NFL, let's just go over some power rankings. It kind of surprises me. Forget it, the two top teams, Super Bowl contenders. However, I would think that the Saints would be ranked at number one, since they just won the Super Bowl. However, the Colts, which lost the Saints, is ranked number one. Saints number two. We'll go to the top ten real quick. Vikings number three.
Vikings. Let's hold off at the Vikings. We've got another hold out there. Brett Favre is waiting for a 2-hour TV special. What do you think? You
think you're gonna get it? I think that's a little bit of a pun, but you know, based on bad-mouthing LeBron, which I still think that was an entire waste of an hour television. But anyhow.
Oh, I was extremely disappointed with ESPN and their coverage of the whole LeBron saga. Come on. Seriously. That was just a waste of time. Of course, we got Dallas that's coming in the power rankings right underneath there, and I'll tell you what, they're locked and loaded, and that's a team to watch for. And the Cowboys every year find a way to win ball games, and despite all the distractions that come with them, and then of course, you know, the Ravens right there and everything too. So, Kevin, what do you think on the NFC or what?
Well, I'll tell you this. I know Dallas hosts the Super Bowl, and they're looking at this next year, and they've got it. Which we, Indianapolis, hosted the following season. We also have the World Cup coming up, so Indianapolis is a good town for sports.
We're up and coming.
We are.
We'll get them all here at Wings, etc.
We're going to hold it in Chile, you know.
There you go.
Cowboys, you know, they're ranked for us. They have a lot of loaded players. But really, as an NFC East fan, Dallas is always bad.
This show, The Balance. Make sure that you follow us on Facebook. Just search The Balance and send us your email, tbalance@ymail.com. The good thing about us being on Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on blogtalkradio.com, we bump right up against Monday Night Football, so we're going to have a lot of football to talk about. And so we've got a lot of football to come this year, so. But what are the other holdouts that are happening here that we still kind of need to touch on is the Tom Brady saga. Tom Brady probably is going to get his contract, but I don't know. He's no Peyton Manning in my book.
Well, you know, Tom Brady to me is a pretty boy of football. I never thought he was as great as he's been touted. I've always said he's Tom Brady. You look at what Tom Brady has had. On his team. I mean, he's had some of the greatest running backs. He's had some of the best wide receivers. I mean, I don't always agree with Randy Moss as far as his off-field mechanics. But when you've got somebody like Randy Moss catching the ball for you, you can't really get anything wrong.
I have a feeling that he's going to get a deal linked up here, and it'll be interesting to see how it comes together. I mean, here's the thing. I think a lot of times you've got these players that just want the big money, and when the bar is set, somebody else has to set it up a little bit higher. So it's a very rich game of limbo.
It is, and one of the things I've seen today that really worries me, just because you know you got a young guy here, is Ravens rookie Kendall, which just signed with them for the 2010 draft. It's going to miss all the training camp with a fractured skull at a house. He was visiting in Austin, Texas. It looks like he got up overnight, got up in the middle of the night, and took a wrong turn.
I think he had a Jack Daniels turn there.
I think he had a Jack Daniels turn. I agree. He was the captain. But either Jack Daniels or the captain did not agree with him. Because he fell down two flights of steps. Well, I'll say this. That is what the reporting is. And as you know as well as I do, Tom, what is reported in injuries and everything else and how it happened
isn't always exactly the truth.
And that's right. It's not all that it's cracked up to be, and you know we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's some stipulations in this contract that says, hey, you can't go out there and get drunk and fall down a flight of stairs. So two flights of stairs, and I'm sure that there's some money that the Ravens are going to be saying, hey, now it's time for you to pay us. So we'll see how that goes. And we're making a little shift over to the minor league. Talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Indians right here in Indianapolis.
I don't know how many Indians games you've got out to, but you go to the game and they will win. That's right. If you build it, they will come. And I think the Indians have built a fantastic team over there at Victory Field. And I certainly think that they have their game on, that's for sure, right now.
I got my game on.
Kevin, I love it when a sound bite comes together exactly what it's supposed to do in rehearsal. Well, on great nights like tonight, sometimes we get to hear the sound bite twice. So we heard it when it was supposed to happen, and then we didn't hear it when it wasn't supposed to happen. But that's okay. I think I'm going to fire an engineer. But going over to the Indianapolis Indians over there in Victory Field, Kevin, how are the Indians going to turn out this year?
Well, you know, I really hope they do well. They got a lot of good guys. Remember, we just lost them. They hit up to the Pittsburgh Pirates to see their win. Right now, they lost last time 3-2, unfortunately. And it looks like they are at zero. They're up to bat in the bottom row. Let me correct that. I just got the newest line in. It is 0-0 against Charlotte right now.
Right, and here's the thing about the Indians. They've had some very, very good games. They're in third place. They're a little bit back from Columbus. 11 games back, but hey, you know, we still have a lot of baseball left. Actually, you know, like, especially in the minor league, you can see teams come up from 11 games and really be a chase for the championship very, very late in the season, especially in the minor league.
You know, well, one thing about the minor leagues, and I've got to say, and I'm a big local sports guy, and if you have a local team, whether it's your AAA, your AA, single-A baseball, here in Indianapolis, we have the Cleveland Indians. In hockey season, we have the Indians.
The Cleveland Indians? Completely different league, completely different spectrum, but we know what you mean.
Well, sometimes I think the Cleveland Indians play Chicago versus the Indianapolis Indians, so that's what I mean by that. But, you know, I agree. Definitely support your local guys. You know, these boys are out there in your community every night, and go out to your local games. There's baseball. Here in Indiana, we have baseball. We have hockey. We have so many different minor league teams that need our
support. Right. Right, and here's the thing about the local teams, and as the seasons go along, we'll get we'll get some interviews from the Indians and the Eyes, especially the Indianapolis Eyes. So we'll get some good interviews. And here's the thing about Indianapolis: we love racing, and we had a weekend of racing, and USAC really did it up well. And this is one of the things going back to earlier with the ticket prices: you could spend roughly $100 and some odd, and they had the dirt races all over the state of Indiana. And I tell you what, if you're a local Indiana boy, you know what I'm talking about. You like those dirt tracks, those USAC, those midget races, and especially over there at O'Reilly Sports Park. You know right, Kevin?
Well, O'Reilly's got some really good things in local drag racing and everything else. But when it comes to bikes, the MotoGP has taken the IMS racetrack and added some, I guess you would say, roads, for the lack of a better term. Down in August 27th through August 29th, the MotoGP comes in. This is coming from a motorcycle guy. I love one bike. I've pulled one. I've pulled a couple others. But I've only pulled one. So
there you go. So your record's pretty good. You know, with the GP, they hit the ground going 200 miles an hour and able to make those turns and those curves. So it is an exciting race to watch. And the MotoGP is doesn't get a lot of the publicity that a lot of the other races do. But that's coming up here. And Kevin, how is the GP race and the MotoGP race for the listener who might just be getting into some motorcycle racing. What can they expect here in Indianapolis when the MotoGP comes? What, how's it structured as far as championships goes, and what's a little bit different with the motorcycle races? You're rubbing off on me. You're redneck from Philly.
I am, and I'm proud to be the redneck from Philly. But, you know, the MotoGP, you've got to give your hats off to these guys. You know, I average, well, just in case there's any, like, IMPD, which is Indianapolis Motor Police Department, I average speed limit. But if you're telling them listening, I average about 80 miles an hour on my motorcycle. So, and, you know, when you're going down the highway 80 miles an hour, somebody pulls out in front of you, kind of get a little bit of a heart rush. So I can only imagine, you know, these guys got steel in the knees or elbows or backs. I mean, you name it. That uniform that these MotoGP guys use is loaded with protection. However, at 200 miles an hour going into a turn, when you scrape, when you get so low that you rip your uniform and the steel sparks, that takes a very special individual to me.
Well, the coming up here, we'll get into a lot of detail here on the balance about the MotoGP as it comes closer to India. We've only got just a few minutes left here on tonight's show. Make sure that you do send us your comments to balance@ymail.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. You can also follow us on Twitter, capital T, and then Balance. Kevin, go ahead and give us some last thoughts. Take us out of here. We're down here at Wings, etc. We'll be hanging out here for just a little bit longer. Come on by, say hello, get you some wings. They've got a full menu, a full bar, and they've got all the TVs with all the sports that you may want to watch. Wings, etc. right here at Raceway and Rockville Road in Indianapolis. Kevin?
Well, you know, Tom, just a real quick last minute update. Right now, looking at baseball, you've got Yankees 1-1. However, home run was by Swisher. So those of you that are waiting for A-Rod to score 600, it's in the bottom of the fourth. You're going to have to wait a little longer. Toronto's up 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. San Jose sort of tied, and the rest of the games are yet to be played. The only final game so far up today was Colorado and Philadelphia. And those fighting Phillies did win 5-4. So, you know, look at us. Have a great time. And again, like Tom said, not only can you send us messages on tbalance@ymail.com, but also we have a chat. Go to blogtalkradio.com. And while you're listening to us, you can actually send us your comments, your questions via chat. We have a chat window open up at all times, so please let us know what you're thinking.
That's absolutely right. This show is just as much your show as it is ours, and we want to hear your comments. We want to hear your feedback. So make sure that you log in Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Search The Balance. You can find us real easy, and then all of our shows are archived. Plus, every day around 4 o'clock, we do have a 15-minute commentary. So we hope to hear from you real soon. It's been great, and we'll talk to you again Monday night.
Mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. You make no sense. You know how cretinous you sound when you think that a broadcaster can affect what happens on a game? How stupid you sound? How infantile?
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
I'm clicking on. Last thing. Go ahead. All right.
like that.